Welcome to My New BFF, a part of the Black Love Podcast Network. I'm Cody Lane Oliver, mama, wife, and co-creator of Black Love. And today, I'm so excited to talk to someone who blew my mind from the moment I met her because of her high energy and loving spirit. Like, I was simultaneously very, very nervous, but excited because you just are quite the personality, ma'am. She is an entertainer, author, former adult actress, transgender woman, and the star of the T.S. Madison Experience on WeTV. Please welcome T.S. Madison.
Well, here we are. Cody. Yes. Cody.
Hello,
Cody.
Hello.
Listen, you know, I want to tell you, when we worked together doing the Black Love for Facebook,
yep,
I was like, wait, she has this love show. And they have me here on a panel of beautiful women talking about love. Mm-hmm. And I'm just this trans diva who has a very sordid past.
You said that... just this, but go ahead. You are more than just.
that has this sordid past who really has kind of thrown love away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how am I going to approach this panel of ladies and beautiful ladies who are married or engaged or dating, and how am I going to be a part of this? And then I went and I started looking up, like, oh gosh, she has these freaking love. I want to come on one of your love shows as a character who was completely subjected to. Mm-hmm. And this is me mm-hmm. throwing my pitch out to you.
I'm ready for it.
And I'll just be honest with you, Cody. I'll just lay it out on the line right here. Mm-hmm. Who's been completely lost, abandoned. God, I don't want to use this word, but it's going to have damaged, scarred, hurt. All of the words that I never really openly use in places. I think that there needs to be a character or a person or a story or just a little, not just big, but an eye on girls who were sex workers or are sex workers or have been introduced to men and have seen the dark side of that life and don't want to love no more. I don't think I want to love anymore. I don't think I want to do it.
So you touched on this a little bit when we did that panel. So I want to talk about how we met. I like doing this podcast because it just gives me an opportunity to dig deeper with people that, you know, sometimes you just meet somebody in passing or on a panel where you're talking a little bit. So it's fun to really just take that extra step to get to know someone. Mm-hmm. And that particular day, we were on a panel about Black Love, I think, for Facebook during the month of February. Mm-hmm. Bravo to them for bringing us together because we were a hodgepodge of ladies. Okay, yes. We had a matchmaker. We had Angela Yee. We had Sweetie.
Yes.
And you and me. And so that's how we met. And I literally was met with like your big personality. The titties were in the shot. I was like, woo, she giving it all to me. You know, which like it was a lot for me, but I don't mean that in a negative way as much as like it made me feel like I wanted to show up bigger. Right? Mm-hmm. Your energy like inspired me. It made me a little intimidated, honestly. And it did, but in a way that I wanted us to do this.
Yes.
I wanted to be able to talk to you more.
Yes, ma'am.
Because it was such a beautiful hour, I think, that we spent together.
Yes.
And you mentioned, you know, your perspective on love and how we as content creators can and should be looking at showing specifically the trans community finding love. But I think all of what you just said about folks that are damaged, which is a lot of us, I realize there are specific experiences and a specific amount of trauma, you know, that comes with both being trans, both working in sex work. But I am completely on board with making sure that we show that love is possible for everyone. It's something I'm really passionate about.
And I would love to see you write that and create that and just like display it. And not just write it, create it, and display it, but go through the stages of it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm 44 this year. And people ask me all the time, Cody, like, Madison, your life trajectory is doing like this. Have you ever thought about love and children? And I was like, I've thought about it, but then I've also remembered my experiences dealing with love and children. Yeah.
So I'm really glad that you brought this up because I want to, man, there's so much I want to talk about now. So I want to start with the question that I ask everyone, which is, who in your life has taught you the most about love, good or bad, but who or what experience has taught you the most about love?
I most definitely have to say my mother. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I say my mother because my mother has an unconditional love for me. And we've been on this path with each other, mm-hmm. Especially when we got to when we were reintroduced to each other, because mm-hmm. she birthed me and I was introduced to her as her son. I grew up in little pieces of being her son, and then I separated from her, and then I had to reintroduce myself to her as a trans child, a trans daughter. And it was a lot that came back with me when I had to reintroduce. I had been scorned by the streets. I had been mm-hmm. introduced to lots of things that she really tried to shield me from and stuff like that. And so she had to love me. She had to not relearn how to love me, Cody, but she had to, God, what does I want to say? Get to know that all of that, like that she missed in those years that I separated myself, you know, from her.
Yeah. I want to ask because, you know, I have seen parts of the show. Mm-hmm. I have listened to a really beautiful podcast that you did with Sam Fugaro.
Talk easy.
And yeah, I like that a lot. And you guys went really in depth about your book and your experience. Mm-hmm. And honestly, so getting to know you via that virtual event that we did, and then, of course, following you and seeing more of you in the show. I'm a mom of three boys. And so I have a tendency to look at grown ass people as my child, right? It's weird, but like I identify with your mom, right? I love seeing how you all are now. And I'm curious, when you did separate from her, will you just give me a little background on, did you come to her and say I'm trans, or did you just disappear? Did you all grow distant?
My mother told me that she has two other boys, mm-hmm. and that I can't be, you know, dressing as a woman in the house like that or whatever. And mm-hmm. I'm going to always respect my mom. And so I mm-hmm. was like, well, I love me more. Well, I need to know me. And so me needing to know me, I needed to go out and find me. And so.
How old were you then?
I was about 19-ish.
Okay.
I started my transition right under her nose, mm-hmm. doing things like, you know, because transition, people think that just like Zaya Wade, that I always go to them.
Yeah.
Zaya Wade is an example of the transition starting here and then mm-hmm. gradually mm-hmm. coming.
In the mind. Yeah.
Then gradually coming here. Because when you're LGBT,
mm-hmm.
you're on this plane ride of rocking, and you're like, am I this? Am I that? Like, you know, and then you're looking around, you're looking at everywhere to see, what can you say? I'm that, or this is me, you know? And so I didn't get an opportunity to really see things growing up that was like, that I thought was me. I said this in all my interviews. RuPaul was most definitely someone that I saw like, yeah, Ru, but I saw her take it off.
Yeah. Yes.
And I was like, I don't know if I want to take it off, you know? Then I saw The Crying Game in 1992. And I was like, yeah, like she's all of that. She's a girl and she still has everything. So I was like, I get it. It's not about the genitalia for me. It's about the connecting of the femininity and the masculinity together. Yeah. Like, that's what I am. I'm all of it. And so I had started like 17, 18. I was going to school. I was battling on the inside. And my mother used to be like, why are you always fighting people? Or why are you always in altercations? Why is there always conflict with you and somebody else? And why are these people saying you're gay? And why? And it's just like all the questions that she was asking me, I could not answer that because I don't know.
You're a child yourself trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, girl, when I had the opportunity to really blossom into like exploring into this, it was very, you can't do that in my house. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. I have other sons.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, okay. And she didn't really put me out. I left.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I wanted to understand.
Yeah. The choice was you either be a man, mm-hmm. or you gotta be, you can't be a woman in here in my house. Yeah. You can't change into a woman in here in front of my other boys. You can't do that. Mm. Not being the oldest child.
So how long were you separated? And what made you to reconcile? I mean, would you call it a reconciliation?
Because it was it was very a reconciliation because I separated from her. We had a really big thing on my birthday, and I was outed. It's like all at the same time. This is why I'm big on people outing people. I hate it. I was outed on my birthday, on my 17th birthday. I was outed. It was a party, and I had been a little frisky with somebody's boyfriend. I didn't know it was somebody's boyfriend. He just was a piece of trade girl that I thought was just like a boy that was, you know, he was a community, a piece of community trade girl. And for those of you that are listening, it's like we trade in our community. It's just a man. Mm-hmm. It's a man that straight identified, but mm-hmm. still plays around with anybody in the LGBT, whether it's a trans or whether it's a gay man, whatever. He's a piece of trade. We call him trade. And so I was like, oh, girl, he was everybody. Like, he's a piece of trade. And so they came to my birthday party, and he brought his boyfriend. I was like, wait, so you not, I thought you were straight, but you're really mm-hmm. in this. You got a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So the boyfriend commences to try to fight me at my birthday party. And mm-hmm. so my mom was really like, my mom, my aunt, it was like, what's going on outside? And so we're Black, so we can say, how open can I be, Cody? Can I be open?
You can be open. We'll give a little viewer discretion or listener discretion now. Okay. T.S. Madison keeps it 100, y'all.
Okay, so what happened was they said, some fags are out there trying to jump on your son about him sleeping with their boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And my mom's like, what was gay fat, you know,
and I was right, like, that's a lot for her.
Yeah, so I was like, oh my god, like all of this was going on. It's just like,
yeah,
now I gotta tell. It just was so, that was a really traumatic thing for me, Cody.
Right.
And I didn't want to tell my mother in that way that I was, you know, gay. Moving forward a year later, I'm like going through all of this stuff, and then I want to be I'm trans too, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we had like a blowout. And I moved with some friends, and the friends, people were whispering in the street, you know, he out there wearing them look him. He got purple and pink, and he trying to look like Lil' Kim. You know, this was during that era when Lil' Kim.
Yeah. Yeah. Early 90s.
Yeah. You trying to look like Lil' Kim, and, you know, it's just like all of this stuff. I would have rather report it back to what was going on with my mom than the streets, because they're going to add so much funk and flavor on it. And so it just kept me distant. And I used to hear her say, oh, well, I better not catch him in no hair and no clothes. I'm going to whoop his behind, or I'm going to snatch it off. God made him a boy. You know, all that. Mm-hmm. So it made me stay right really, 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 really distant from my mom.
Yeah.
And, ooh, Cody, so you got me digging. You got me digging.
Well, I want to know, what did it take for you to come home, you know, to reconcile, for you to be where you are now, honestly, which I think from what I've seen is so beautiful.
I love her. I started getting black market silicone injections.
Mm, okay.
Under the table, black market silicone injections, trying to enhance my body. Enhance my breasts, enhance, you know, all the things to be more woman, to be more shapely like a woman. And I got very, very sick. It wasn't silicone poison. It's just that what they were using, pumping into the body, was not right. And so I got very, very sick. I lost my apartment because I couldn't pay the rent because I was so sick. And I got hospitalized. And when I got hospitalized, I got evicted. Like, all of this stuff was going on at the same. And so I had to come home. And in this coming home, I came home, titties, body, but disfigured. Holes and you know, things from where they had to try to get what they had injected in me out, and, you know, damaged body. You know, I had to come home sick, skinny, but with boobs and stuff. And it's just like your mom is looking at you like laying in the bed at my aunt's house. And we had this really big conversation. And I told her, you know, that I really couldn't, that I just really couldn't do it. Like, you know, out there, you know, in the world, like I'm in the world by myself. But I will go back out there in the world by myself because this is who I am. And then we just had this moment of she don't want to lose her child. Like I could have died and all of this stuff. It's not like I forced her to conform to my beliefs. I just let her know that I was okay with being out there alone in the world and dying in the world because this is who I am. And we had a really deep powwow.
Mm-hmm.
And we cried. And she said she didn't know that this really was, you know, so serious and the other. And after that, she prayed. We prayed together. And it's just like slowly, it didn't come overnight, but slowly
she
started being a part of my healing process of me getting my life back together, like trying to come back from my sickness, going with me. I remember her tending, you know, to my wounds and her and my aunt too, who's passed away. It's an emotional thing for me because I remember that. And it's just like, you need that.
I agree.
You need that. You need your mama.
Mm-hmm.
I need my mama.
I think that for what it's worth, when you share that, when you share who you are, when you share on your show your family and all the various responses to you, for me as a mom, it always makes me think, I want to create a space for my children to always talk to me. I want them to know no matter what they do, who they are, who they love. But I mean, from the small to the large, right? When my son screams at somebody in the house, you know, we're like, hey, you know, time out or whatever. But I always tell him, I'm mad at you, but I love you.
Right.
I still love you. I always tell him, no matter what, in the smallest ways now, how much I love him and how he can always come to me, because I don't want ever there to be a big thing that he feels like he can't come to me about.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like I overdo it perhaps with that, because when I hear even what you're saying, when I hear, you know, Billy Porter a week or so ago talking about how long he didn't tell his mother he had HIV, I just don't see how people can't hear that and say, I just want to make sure my child knows I love them always.
Yeah. You know, just like Sam was digging and he asked me these things, and I just was like, it made me think, I'm grown now, I'm big now, I'm doing big things in the world and moving around in the world and stuff now. But it's like when I get into those moments where I think about like where I am now, then I reflect back. And I thank God for giving me the opportunity to be able to share these stories to people, because my mother didn't shut me out. It was just like, I think it was her faith in God and her belief in God and her love for God and still her love for me. She didn't tell me I couldn't come and talk to her about nothing. And she didn't say that, you know, it wasn't open. It was just, I respected my mom so much. I respected it. Like, I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to go in the world. We'll talk on the phone maybe. But I'm just not going to let you see me like this. And then that happened. And I had to come home. And Cody, I was so sick. Like, I was so scared. I think I was maybe like 125 pounds. The wounds that were on me, like I had so many wounds and scars on me. And I remember her wiping them and cleaning them and stuff and sobbing in the inside, like both of us in the crying space, because I understood it. I understood what it meant.
I just want to say that with your mom, what you're describing, I think, is just as you were saying, as a child, figuring yourself out, and just as children do, we don't know nothing. We're just learning. We're just learning ourselves. Your mom, this was all new to her too.
Mm-hmm.
This meaning any what could have been in the 80s and 90s, you know, alternative lifestyle, right, is new to her. And what I'm grateful for is your example now publicly, yours and hers,
mm-hmm.
because it gives me an opportunity as a mother to constantly check myself, mm-hmm. to constantly be aware that I always want my child to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And this is not a knock on your mom at
mm-hmm.
all,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but I always want my kids to know anything. Just tell me
yeah.
anything mm-hmm. always. Mm-hmm. And that I love them. I'm sure there are people who watch your show or learn and don't take that approach, unfortunately. And I feel sorry for them,
yes.
but I love that you use the example of the Wades. And I think that it's important to see such visibility around love, because that's all we're really talking about. We're just
yeah.
talking about loving our people, our kids, our family members, et cetera, even when they're not doing whatever we think they should be doing.
Right.
Or whatever we expect them to be doing.
Right.
And so I'm just grateful for your example.
Thank you, Cody.
Now, you and me can clearly go down a path of love and emotion, okay? And we can do that. But I do want to talk about the fact that, like, you are this natural entertainer.
Mm.
Like, the personality didn't come from nowhere. And I know about Vine and I know about YouTube and the ways in which people have seen you. But I want to know for you, like, when did you know that was in you and that this public entertainer thing was your path?
We used to have birthday parties a lot at my aunt's house. And I love my aunt. And just reflecting on her when I was sick, talking to you about that, her and my mama, I love them both because they both were my mothers. But we used to have parties all the time. And girl, so whoever's party it was, they would bring cards and all that type of stuff. And so I would get the microphone because we would have a DJ. It was my aunt bought a DJ for her sons. And so I would get on the microphone and I'd be like, all right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the party. Honey, I don't know who brought what or what brought what, but baby, let me tell you something. If you ain't put no money in that card, I'ma call you out, okay? And so I would get the cards, the birthday cards, and I would read the card, and I would read it with a lot of energy, a lot of, you know, pizzazz on the card, and then I would call out whoever didn't break any money. And, you know, and that's how it would happen. I know that I got lots of my humor and lots of my personality from watching TV. I have absorbed many, many, many mm-hmm. hours of movies and television and old movies and reading books and cartoons. And, you know, and when I get the opportunity to just stand up in front of a group, I'm not scared of nobody.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of us have absorbed those things. We don't have the confidence that you have. Okay, you have talent, okay, and confidence.
Listen, Cody, listen, don't judge me, girl. I want to tell you this. I used to walk my ass out there on that street around some bad mm-hmm. chicks, okay? And I could stop a car, throw my face down in the car, and be like, hey, baby, what you got for me? You know, and the men would be like, I like something about your person. Like, you ain't got as much ass as her. Your titties ain't big as hers, but you got a lot of, I say, I got a whole heap of everything, baby, you know? And that's just like a lot of things. Like, I think it was just given to me. I think that's one of my gifts that God gave me. I could stop a car, honey. And listen, it was girls badder than me. So, and then I looked at the way that I could pay my bills. This is why I am not intimidated by a woman. I'm not intimidated by trans women. I'm not intimidated by other men, because I know that what I got, nobody else do.
I know, girl. And I've seen it.
And that's what it is. Nobody else do. And so that's where my confidence lies at.
Yeah.
Because I would see everybody who I thought was prettier than me,
mm-hmm.
who was sexier than me, who was more handsome or fine or whatever than me, struggling. And I'm like, girl, well, I ain't struggling. They must be doing something wrong. They ain't better than me. And so that's where my confidence comes from.
You know, throughout all of this, you then started using Vine, right? And you had a viral video that went, or a Vine video that went viral, dancing naked.
Yeah, yes, God. Yeah, naked, honey.
And then YouTube. And Did you feel after going viral that you became like the spokesperson for the trans community or?
No.
Okay. So we were talking about, we're just going to get to it. We were talking about how there wasn't, you didn't feel like there was ever going to be progress with the general, with people accepting, understanding, caring about the trans community. And then you started to see Laverne Cox, and then you started to see yourself even as a part of the conversation. And that began to open you up to the notion that change was possible, right?
Yes. And it made me, quote unquote, step my pussy up.
Okay.
And when I did that, it made me be like, Madison, you have so many people that are watching you, so many people that see you, so many people that are interested in what you have to say. And at first I resisted it, Cody. I resisted it at first because I was like, I don't want to be nobody's role model. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the perfect role. Girl, I don't really care. God forgive me. I'm not going to say I don't really care, but it's just like, nobody really cares about this stuff, this trans stuff, and nobody, whatever. And it's like a voice said to me, be the change that you want to see in the world. Be the change. And I'm like, all right, girl. God, if this what you want me to do, okay. And so I started getting my act together. I started pulling myself together and I stopped being naked. Well, not immediately.
Oh, that was a conscious choice to reach more people. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, very much so. But I also never shied away from my roots of it because I was like, you know what? I need to speak for the people who were naked or are naked, yeah, or who have been in the game that I've been in. And I need to tell stories from that side of the gate, not for sympathy, but so that people can empathize with us being human beings and also empathize in, you know, in our journey and, mm-hmm, you know, what is the reason that where we are. You see a lot of things happening with a lot of people, but you don't know the root, yeah, of it. And so I wanted to talk about where the root stems from. And so that was my place. That's where I slid in, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm.
And so now, not only are you a part of the movement, fully, in my opinion, fully able to be yourself, right? I feel like you're fully able to be yourself via your show, social media. It appears from the outside looking in, not having to compromise yourself. But you also are calling people on their shit in terms of, I found it really interesting from what I saw of your brothers, your interaction with your brothers and how, from my opinion, what I felt they were saying, they love and accept you, but still won't say she or her. Mm. Is that right?
They're growing.
Yeah.
And I think it's growing. It's growing and it's growing because they're understanding it. Like they're out here in the world and they're seeing that I'm important to the movement. Yeah. I'm important to the change that's going on in the world. And it's like, you know what? I may not. And here's the correct terms that I want to use.
Yeah.
I may not accept it, but I need to respect it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I need to respect what it is that's going on because respect is such an easy thing to do.
Right.
And I'm not going to compromise my belief in that, well, this is my brother. But I'm going to respect the fact that this is my sister. Mm-hmm. This is my sister. You know, I know that this is my brother, but I respect her as my sister. And that's all it moves me because I don't want you to sit over here. And I don't. And this is what I think that me as a trans person is a representative of a lot of trans people who think like me. Mm-hmm. I don't want your money. Acceptance. Mm-hmm. I just want you to respect me or move around.
That's fair. And I think too, that's what I saw you sort of call out to them. And I thought it was an important distinction because there are a lot of people who are coming around and who are, as you pointed out, being accepting or trying.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are wrong. Yeah. There are a lot of folks who are trying to be accepting
or respecting
and even supportive, trying to be supportive, but respect is very specific. And the extra step of recognizing how people want to be called you know, themselves, respecting, mm-hmm. respecting that and utilizing whatever term, you know, someone wants to be referred to as, that is what respect looks like. That's how it shows up.
I mean, especially if you, if both of you are occupying the same space. Yeah. Now, it sounds kind of funny. I don't know what you're calling me in your home. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about to me in your home. I don't know how you feel about me in your heart. I know that when we are occupying the space and we're having a conversation or we're at work or we're at this, please, I'd like to be respected.
Yeah.
And my pronouns are she, her, and hers. You know, when my brothers and I are in our personal time, I'm not beating my brother down in the head saying, oh, boy, you better be calling me, you better be saying sister every time. We having a cut. These are my brothers.
Yeah. Yes.
But when we, when we're in the streets where it matters that you have to adhere to this, mm-hmm. respect me. Mm-hmm. And my mother, listen, my mother calls me boo. My mother boos me to death. She boos me so much that, you know, and I think it's not because she does not want to she or her me. I think it's because it was a difficult road. It was a difficult path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Telling it to her is something different than her being over in this,
yeah,
and experiencing this with me.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now she's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, it's her and she. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Mm. Because it's one thing when she's over there and I'm telling her, mommy, this happens. Mommy, this goes on. Mommy, this goes. And then we're somewhere and someone is deliberately before I tell them I'm trans, I'm she. But the moment that I say I'm trans, oh, he, and she's like, hey, hey, hey.
Right.
What?
Yes.
What?
You're making a choice now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, hey, come on, boo. We don't need to talk to these people. They're being disrespectful. And I've really caught my mom doing it. And I'm like.
Okay. So what do you, what would you say, especially considering what you were saying about truly feeling like there wasn't progress wasn't possible. What would you say right now in 2021 for you is the greatest indicator of progress? What do you like to
see? Oh, definitely for me in 2021, the greatest indicator of progress. God, I don't want to seem narcissist on this, but my television show getting greenlit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I don't think people really understand really understood the magnitude of what that meant.
Yeah.
And what spaces that I now occupy and where my career is going and how I'm on a upward trajectory that I'm on. I don't think people really, really understood. I am a former adult entertainer, mm-hmm. a former sex worker, all the deviant things that people feel about me as a trans person. And I put on a pantsuit and some pumps and sat in front of a board of people and told them, this is how I want you to put my life on television. This is how I want you to represent me as a Black person, as a Black queer trans person, mm-hmm. as a Black trans woman. I made these decisions and I did, and this happened. And if people that are haters really stepped outside of the hate zone and really looked at how impossible that has been a decade ago, mm-hmm. and look at how it is going now and how I'm in a movie called Zola now. I'm auditioning for big roles on stuff that they are calling me for the part for with all of this stuff. Because I remember a time 10 years ago, Cody, a decade, right, TG? I remember a decade ago, 10 years, people saying, oh, she's a porn. Oh, she, girl, they not going to let her. Mm-hmm. No company's going to, those people not going to take big chance. She ain't never going. And I kept telling them, oh, honey, I got a story to tell. Mm-hmm. And I have ambitions and goals. And I have this, I want to do this for everybody who they say they cannot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I did. And still doing. And so if that doesn't speak to the lines of progression in 2021, I don't know what they're listening to.
I agree. So, you know, I mentioned to you that this podcast was created because I wanted to find people, or sometimes I meet folks quickly or in an event or something, and I just want to know more. Right. And so we have what we call beyond the persona questions, although I think you are an open book. And so there's no persona. It's just who you are at all times. Right.
Ooh.
But I want to ask you a couple of questions just to know a little bit more about you. So what does joy look like for you in your life right now?
Oh, my God. Joy to me is being with my family. I mean, celebrating things with my mother, my brothers, my family, like even my chosen family, my gay children. Like, I have gay kids. I'm a gay mother, you know. I love being with the people that I love, eating, sharing stories, dancing, mm-hmm. drinking, you know, having a little CBD smoke. Just having a really good time with the people who mean the most to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be 20. It could be the 9, 10 people that are in my life. Just being around each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember being in the world alone. You know?
Yeah.
And to be in a space now where I could share my accomplishments, my dreams, my goals, and like this, they not haters.
Mm-hmm.
They cheering me. We cheering each other. And it's real love, real love.
So what do you wish you spent more time doing 5 years ago?
I really wish 5 years ago I would have spent more time focused on all the positivity that I was receiving.
Mm.
5 years ago, I was very deep into the comments.
Say, girl.
I was very deep into what people were saying about me on a blog or talking about or speaking negatively again. I was so deep in trying to combat that. Even though I was still focused on where I was going, I stumbled a bit in a lot of stuff. And I was so eager to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of just letting God just do his thing.
Yeah.
I was so busy, like, don't you say that about me. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you instead of getting in the seat and just showing them.
Yeah. Yeah.
5 years ago, I was bound to that.
Yeah. The comments hurt. I feel you.
Yeah.
Because I look at you as so extremely confident, so boldly yourself at all times. I want to know, what are you most insecure about?
I've overcame lots of my insecurities.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can tell you what they used to be.
Mm, okay.
I used to be very insecure about the scars that I have on my body.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be very insecure about that. I used to be very insecure about the hyperpigmentation that I have on my face. I used to be very insecure about those two things, because it's like your outer appearance affects your security.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so very insecure about them until I really start embracing it and being like, Maddie, you're a very public person, and they might catch you with no hair on or no makeup, or you might have on an outfit that might show a dent or a scar or a mark, or you might have to go into play where people will see that. Instead of being insecure about it, talk about it. Talk about it. Share these things. I also had insecurities with me being unable to articulate things that I want to articulate in a certain way, and having, you know, being little bits of intimidated towards girls who I felt were smarter than me, you know. But what I started to do was I started to embrace that, and I started having conversations with a lot of the girls who I felt were more intelligent than me, especially on trans issues and things like that. And I found out that they were pulling lots of inspiration from me, because I was an example of things that we were talking about. And they said that, Madison, you have an innate ability to reach people who are highly educated to people that have no education at all. Girl, you actually are the brightest star in the room. As much as you look at us in this way of like we're your fan. Like, Laverne told me that. like Laverne said this to me. Janet Mock said these things to me, like, Madison, we pull inspiration from you when we're having conversations about trans people. And when we're using you as an example, because you're fearless and you live out and open. And I was like, wow, the very people that I felt insecurities about or intimidated by or whatever are inspired by me. And so this is what has helped me moving forward in all of the things that all the insecurities that I battle with. It's like, embrace it. Embrace it.
That's a whole word, because I think that people in general, but especially people in the public eye, do the opposite of what you're saying, right? I'm insecure about my face. I'm insecure about my scars. So I'm going to cover them up. I'm not going to let anybody see that. I'm insecure. You know, I have seen you makeupless, wigless, naked. and I think that that is such a valuable, such a valuable thing to say, to articulate, that what it is you just embracing all of what you are. It's not simply supreme confidence. Yes, that's what it is now, but it's just embracing that so that no one can expose it.
Yeah. Right?
You're like, I know who I am. I know the things that I've been through and seen, and I'm embracing all of me.
Yeah.
And Lord, I think that is indicative of every moment that I've seen you.
Yes.
From the moment that I met you and was like, oh, she is frankly giving me confidence.
Yeah.
Serving full self love.
Listen, let me tell you something, Cody. When I walked into that room, or zoomed into that room, or whatever thing. When I was in that room with all of those beautiful women, I was like, well, for one, you know, these are all beautiful cis women. I'm a trans woman. And, you know, I'm coming in and I'm not intimidated by any of these beautiful women, because, you know, I embrace beauty. I found a beauty in each one of the different levels of women that were there in the panel. And I felt that in myself, too. You know, like, hey, let me slide on in. Let me put this toe up body in here with the girls. Hey, girls, you know, and still was able to be like, everybody in this room was so beautiful. I just have come to that place, Cody, in my life where I understand that I can't be anybody else but me. And me is unique. Me is my own. I'm beautiful in my own right, in my own way, whether I have on makeup or whether I don't. You know, or whether I'm shaped like a Coke bottle or whether I'm shaped like a bleach bottle, girl, okay? I have to understand that this is me. And if I don't enjoy or accept the skin that I'm in, nobody else around me is going to. I carry that with me. Like, I carry that confidence. I carry that commanding presence, because it's just like, oh, I'm good with me. Yeah, I may not like this scar on my face, and I might use some cream to try to get it off. But if it don't come off, what you gonna do with it? You gonna deal with me or you're not?
Yeah.
Yes, I got these scars on my body, and I don't want to go over here to the plastic surgeon and spend $1,000, because I see it when I'm naked, and the man that wanna be with me when it's time for me to take my clothes off, he gonna see it when it's naked, and he gonna lick it. And what you gonna do? It's either you gonna lick it or you not.
You gonna go home if not.
If not, right.
Well, Maddie, this has been wonderful, and we could absolutely do this for hours. In fact, we will have to have a part two, because you and I got to talk about love. We got to talk about love. You said potentially motherhood. So I really want to dig.
You don't want to touch it a little bit, like a lightning round, a little bit.
Well, I know if we touch it, we're going to be here for a while, and I want to be. Mercury is in retrograde. We got to make sure we don't lose signal and that we give ourselves another chance to do this, and maybe in person.
Ow. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, let's do that.
So I would love to know, what is next for you? What should we be looking out for?
You know, I think God is really calling me to create. I'm good in front of the camera. But I think I need to create. I need to do what you're doing. I need to get behind it so that I can tell the story better. I can, instead of me trying to act it out, I can get someone to, I can put it in someone to see it.
Yeah.
And I also think that I think that I want to act a little bit. So I'm going to polish that up. But I think I want to do, I think I'm going to produce more, create more. And I want to do some stand-up comedy a little bit. I want to tell dirty, I want to tell dirty, bad jokes and get away with it and get a lot of money for it. I want to star in some great films, motion pictures. I want to be a recurring person on some show. And I want to have my talk show. And I want to do all of this. And I'm going to say, I'm going to do all of this. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I'm going to do it. And I want to leave the listeners out there with this before they meet me again. I want all the listeners to know that if you've been given a gift, a vision, a proclamation from God some type of way, and there are obstacles going on in your life right now, do not lose focus. Do not lose your path. Stay in the passenger seat. Let God drive that. But you continue to go to that destination. And don't know when. Just know.
That's a message for me.
I'm telling you, if you don't know when, you just know. People ask me, did you know you was going to get a TV show? Yes. Did you know you were going to do this and do that? Yes. I didn't know when, but I knew and I know. And I walk into the world looking at lots of things that I want to do and saying, I'm going to do that. I don't know how. I don't know when, but I know.
Well, girl, thank you so much for being here. I would like to say that you might be my new BFF.
That's right.
If you'll take it.
I will take it. I love it. I love it. I love you. I love what you I love what you stand for. I love what you're creating. I would most definitely love to see you bring some of the things that I've said to you to an audience who would be open to receive it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Make sure if you're listening, follow her at T.S. Madison. Oh, the real T.S.
Madison. At the real. Yes. Instagram. At the real T.S. Madison.
The real T.S. Madison. That's yes. Right. That's right. And show her all the love. Be ready. Okay. Because as we said, listener discretion is advised. She keep it 100 all the time. Audio listeners, let me know what you love about Maddie and all of my new BFFs and leave a review, like, follow the podcast, share with somebody, tell us who you want me to interview next. And thank you again, Maddie, for being here.
And y'all stick around because pod 2 coming. I'm going to be sitting across from my girl because I am fully vaccinated.
Woo woo, me too.
That's right. All right, queen. Thank you.